want more. Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Hey, I'm Jamal. Welcome to Living in Your Body for Life. This is the show where we let you know how to stay healthy and have fun doing it. Today, we're going to spend a little time telling you about our mini-series and our focus topics. In today's show, we will interview Dr. Sarah Geller, Director of Center for Interdisciplinary Health Disparities Research, and we will interview Nakia Hammes, Teen Breast Cancer Survivor. Everyone give it up for Dr. Sarah Geller.
Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
It's good to be here.
Thank you. It's great to have you. Now, Sarah, tell us a little bit about your project.
We're a bunch of scientists at the University of Chicago who are trying to understand why African-American women have an early form of breast cancer. And this form of breast cancer is particularly aggressive, it moves fast, and it's also particularly lethal. And this is very, obviously very worrisome. We know that white women are much more likely to get breast cancer than black women, but when black women get it, they're more likely to die from it.
Oh.
And we think maybe this early form sort of explains that difference.
Right.
So we started by going into the community on the South Side and talking to people. We didn't think we needed to talk to people in the community as experts and hear their voices. And we met with people in community centers and libraries, men and women aged 18 to in their 80s.
Okay.
And we just asked them what they thought about breast cancer, how it affected their communities, and what they thought about the ways it was being treated now.
What do you hope to achieve with this research project?
Well, we hope to understand a little bit more about cancer in general and breast cancer in particular. And, you know, we've been studying cancer for a lot of years. There was a war on cancer in the 1970s, but we haven't made the progress we want to make. And it's just affecting too many people negatively, families and communities. So we're taking a new approach because we don't think it's worked too well what we've done, as well as it might have what we've done in the past. So we're bringing together a lot of different kinds of scientists, and we're bringing in people from the community, and that's helped a whole lot. And when we went out into the neighborhoods, people told us that they didn't think that especially young women, teens, really were getting messages about how to stay healthy, that they were told what not to do, don't do this, don't do that, but they weren't really told how to just love their bodies and live in their bodies for a long time. So that's one thing we're trying to address, and we're so glad that you're doing this series because we think it can make a difference.
All right. How do you expect to get the results back to the community?
That's a real good question, because a lot of times I think research gets done at colleges and universities and it doesn't get back to people. So I think we're going to use the same approach we did to get information into us, which was just to go out and talk to organizations, to churches, to schools, and let them know.
Why are you doing a research project, though?
Well, we're about six scientists, all of whom were interested in women's health. So we went into it interested in trying to keep women healthy. And we live in Hyde Park. We're residents of the South Side. And when we began to see this earlier form of breast cancer in African-American women, we thought, somebody's got to do something about it. And might as well be us. Because, you know, when you think about breast cancer in the past, we thought of it as something that happened to older women. And what Dr. Olapade was seeing in her breast cancer clinic was a lot of younger African-American women in their 20s and 30s, and even in their teens. I think you're going to be talking to a young woman who developed breast cancer in her teens. And we just want to make sure that that gets the attention it does, so that people can put their resources, their time, and their effort into understanding why it's happening.
What are some new treatments and technology for cancer?
Well, one thing we're learning is that breast cancer, for instance, isn't just one disease. It's probably really five or six diseases. Mm-hmm. And the five or six respond to different treatments. So one thing we're doing is trying to understand the problem, the tumors that come with breast cancer, and try to then design treatments that are specific to each of the six, and that will make a tremendous difference. Okay. So there will likely be special treatments for the early form that we might not have now.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it, thank you. Everyone give Sarah another round of applause. Wasn't she great? All right. For our next interview, my co-host Deja will be interviewing teen breast cancer survivor Nakia Hammonds.
Help me bring them back to the stage. Stay home. Come on, say it. Hold up. Hold up. Are y'all out there? Are y'all out there? Come on now. Yeah. Now see, that's what I'm talking about. Out there. Come on now. Yeah. Now see, that's what I'm talking about. Out there. Come on now. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Deja Nicholson. And today, as a special guest, I'm interviewing Nakia Hammond, who is a woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 16. Now, how did you come to find out that you have breast cancer, Nakia?
Well, one morning, I was on my way to school as a junior in high school, and I just took a shower like any other morning, but I noticed a lump, and it felt a little odd to me.
Okay. And in what ways of finding that out did it affect you?
Well, initially, I wasn't too concerned. I just felt like it was maybe a bump or, you know, something normal. But I did go to the doctor, and they confirmed that they felt the lump as well. And they suggested that I have a biopsy where they would remove the lump to find out if it was malignant or not. And after several procedures, they realized it was malignant, and I had to go through some treatments to remove the cancer.
And what were the reactions of your friends and family when they found out that you had it?
Well, when I was first diagnosed, my family, as I was very devastated. We hadn't heard of cancer being in somebody that young. They were hurt as I was, but very supportive. And they always made me feel like I would be able to get through it. My friends, the close friends, were also very supportive. But then I had to go through some of the young people at my school that didn't quite know how to handle me. You know, those close around were very hovering and protective of me. But then others, sometimes I felt that they would try to distance themselves from me because they didn't understand, you know, what was going on, and I guess didn't want to hurt me. So I kind of experienced different extremes of a reaction.
Did you think that there was any way you could have prevented what happened to you?
At the time, no. Because again, I lived the normal life of a teenager. As I grew older, I heard that there are several factors that can affect breast cancer, such as obesity or such as high stress and everything. But at the time, I really didn't live any kind of abnormal life or participate in any stressful activity that I felt could have brought on the cancer. It was just one of those things.
Do you have or get any feelings of sadness or regret when asked by anybody about your experience?
Not sadness, and certainly not regret. When I look back on it, sometimes I do get emotional because I remember It was a very traumatic experience. If you can imagine at 16 years old, somebody telling you that you have a disease that might possibly kill you. It was very traumatic. And sometimes when I look back on that time, I can remember all of those emotions, going through the surgeries and having the radiation treatments. And I had many male doctors. I don't think I remember one female doctor during the whole time. So, you know, I often remember those things. However, the experience has definitely made me a better person because I have a greater appreciation for life. And now I receive opportunities that I can tell others about early detection and even the resources that are available to them. So in retrospect, it was one of the best things that have happened to me.
How or in what ways did you help yourself and prevent yourself from losing confidence during just finding out that you had it?
Well, that was difficult as far as the losing confidence. In my experience, they wanted to do a total mastectomy. And what that means is that they wanted to remove both breasts entirely. And at that time, I didn't know how to take that. I felt like that would disfigure me and ruin the rest of my life. So I was in disbelief and I really suffered a lack of confidence during my sophomore and junior year. However, as time went on and I went through the procedures and I kind of went through a mind change where I realized I can beat this. I'm going to make it through this. And no matter what the outcome, I'm going to live a happy, normal, and successful life. And again, I believe that was a turning point for me once I realized, you know what, I can beat this. There are women that survive this and they live and go on to live happy lives. And once I made that mind change, I felt the confidence coming back. And I haven't had a problem since then.
Was there, in fact, any surgery or pain involved in the process?
Yes, I went through several surgeries. The first was the initial biopsy to remove the lump. And then once they realized it was malignant, they had to go in a second time to go under the lymph nodes and see just how far the cancer has spread. Several years later, they entered the other breast because I felt another lump. And in all, I've had about 6 procedures. So I have had, you know, extensive surgeries, mainly of a preventative nature, because once you feel the lump the first time, you don't want to take any chances. Every time you feel something suspicious, you want to go ahead and get that biopsy and make sure it's not malignant. And that's how it was in my case.
It's been a decade now, right? Mm-hmm. And looking back, did you ever think you would have lived this long after finding out you had breast cancer?
I'll say right after the diagnosis, I had fears of not living to see this day. But it didn't take very long. I have a strong spiritual background. I have a very supportive family and church family. And it didn't take very long for me to feel like, you know what, Nakia, you can make it through this and you're gonna live. And once I made up in my mind that I was gonna beat this, I feel like that was the turnaround, and I'm living today because of that change.
Okay, if a specific occasion or opportunity had showed itself in any way, how would you choose to tell or explain to someone your experience?
Oh, I use every opportunity. I talk about it. If anybody asks me at work over lunch, I talk about it. I've had some great opportunities. Recently, the University of Chicago invited me to speak for a summit that they had here in Chicago. Last year, I was a keynote speaker for the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk in Valparaiso, and there were thousands of women there, and that was so awesome to me to get on that stage and tell them my story. And I had so many people come to me hugging me and crying because they had been through the same thing. And even just weeks ago, I attended the breakfast where I was a keynote speaker there. And wherever I get the opportunity to tell people that the diagnosis of cancer is not necessarily a death sentence, I try to use that opportunity.
What advice would you give a woman with breast cancer now?
Wow. You have to believe. You have to believe in yourself. And again, just because the cancer is there, it affects each of us different ways. I feel like with anything in life, you can get some bad news and you can't do anything to change that bad news except your response to it. That's what you can change. You can determine whether or not you're going to let that thing destroy you or whether or not you're going to use it as a stepping stone. And hopefully I've used my experience as a building block to build my character, and hopefully I can help others that experience this cancer as well.
And what advice would you give a young woman trying to prevent breast cancer?
Well, again, early detection is key. Had I just blown that lump off and felt like, oh, it's just a pimple or it's nothing, I don't know that my outcome would have been the same. So the moment you feel something suspicious, and I believe every woman knows their body, the moment you feel something suspicious, don't blow it off, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. Get it checked out, go to your doctor, because there are advances in medicine now and in technology that can save your life. It wasn't necessarily like that 30, 40, 50 years ago, but now you don't necessarily have to die from breast cancer. There's a lot of research being done every day, and there are things that can help you through it. So the earlier you can detect the cancer, the more you increase your chances of survival.
Do you think that schools should be teaching, if not notifying teens about breast cancer?
Definitely. A few years ago, when I was a sophomore in high school, I can honestly say that I never heard the subject of breast cancer come up in our classes. In high school, I never heard them talk about breast cancer or how to prevent it or how to treat it, but yet I experienced it. And so I say the earlier you learn about it, the more you know, the better decisions you can make, the wiser decisions. So I'm totally an advocate for early knowledge of breast cancer.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you for coming on.
Hi, I'm Jamal.
And I'm Deja.
And we're going to tell you about our next four series topics. Our next show will be about stress and fitness, where we'll tell you how to handle stress, what causes stress, and we're going to tell you how to stay fit and how fitness and stress are related to each other.
Our third show will be about the body. It's going to be called Your Body. We will have certain guests coming on and explaining about teen violence and how it affects teens socially, as well as health and how to respect oneself.
And in our fourth series, we will be talking about the environment, mostly regarding asthma and allergies. Asthma affects African Americans more than any other group. We will have an asthma specialist to tell us how to deal with asthma and allergies.
Our last show in the series will be about addictions, entitled Stuck On It, Don't Let It Stick On You. It will be a wrap-up of what we learned so far, including subjects such as drugs, alcohol, eating disorders, obesity, sex, and smoking.
So we hope you join us next time. Till then, this was Living in Your Body for Life, the show where we show you how to be healthy and have fun doing it.